This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 hour from right now on Grant and Danny ahead of the Beltway Blitz. We've got tickets to see Disturbed at 5 o'clock. We'll blitz the East. Check in on the other three teams in the division. And at 6 o'clock, that's 3 hours from now, the general manager at one point in time of the Atlanta Falcons, who hired and worked with Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff joins us. He's also got a lot of experience working in New England with Adam Peters, so he's a very timely and good guest. We'll talk to him about the NFL trade deadline coming up. Speaking of which, I love this for the Chiefs. They are devoid of weapons. They don't really have anybody at wide receiver right now they can count on. They plucked Juju Smith-Schuster off the scrap heap at one point in time. He developed into an option for Patrick Mahomes. He's hurt. He's not playing again this week. They've traded for DeAndre Hopkins, and they gave up next to nothing to get him. Have you seen the terms?
Oh, yeah.
On that trade?
See, this is what I want. Whatever this is, I want this. I want the gruntled or disgruntled or underutilized, really good football player. I don't know exactly how much Hopkins has left. I have no idea.
I don't think very much.
He's in a terrible system in a terrible place with a quarterback that's, you know, basically like having me back there with one arm behind my back. But I want the, if you just take on a little bit of salary, you can have it for a fifth. And when you guys go to the Super Bowl, it converts to a fourth. And they're going again, by the way.
Chiefs get Hopkins. Titans get a 2025 fifth that becomes a fourth. To Danny's point, if Kansas City gets to the Super Bowl and Hopkins plays in 60% of snaps the rest of the way. So a couple of big ifs there to turn this into what would be a fourth round pick, which is still not big of a, that big of a deal if you're the Chiefs. If you're trying to win a Super Bowl. Again, they're going back to back to back if this works out.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to do something no one's ever done before. Nobody's ever three-peated. And they just have to add weaponry. Kelce looks much older. He's got a lot of these 4-5 catch, 20 to 25-yard games.
It's 17 yards this past week.
I think on four grabs.
On four catches.
That's just not Travis Kelce. But it is this year.
Or it is now.
Rashee Rice is the baller that isn't anymore because he's hurt and out for an extended period of time. So they need weapons for Mahomes. But I want to ask Dimitroff not only about that trade, but what it could mean for the Commanders. I do want to give some shine to Adam Peters, though, really quickly. Because Peters, Danny, traded Jahan Dotson and got a third-round pick back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone wants to play the apples-to-apples game and call up and go over all the specifics and how we got here and what's what. But if you look at the other receivers that have been traded, Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, and now, throw it on the pile, DeAndre Hopkins, the value that Washington got for a guy that couldn't even get targets or catches from the Eagles when their top two receivers were out for a couple of weeks is preposterous. Adam Peters did it in the worst possible way to the Eagles and Howie Roseman.
Adam Peters.
Someone should call 911 and say, I just saw Adam Peters get a third for Jahan Dotson from Howie Roseman based on this market right now. Well, I mean, that's illegal in 23 states what he did to Howie Roseman.
So it was Dotson in a fifth for a third, which is pretty good value. I'll take that.
They got a third round pick back for Jahan Dotson.
A third round pick for a guy that doesn't play. So I'll take it. Yeah, nuts. A guy that was not part of your plan. So imagine the analogy I would use or the comp I would use. Is imagine if they got a third for Jamin Davis. Like the guy that they cut, the guy that had that was not part of their plans anymore. They were able to do a pick swap and end up with another third round pick. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, here's the question that I want listeners to weigh in on today. This is the take your temperature topic, if you will. We have at least one of these every day where I'm actually really curious coming in to do the show what people think in this fan base and what our listeners think. And the only way to touch the people and to figure that out is to open the phones, and we'll do that right now on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Jaden Daniels got banged up in the Giants game, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I think he lost his wind, is what they said, but he got banged. He was kind of grabbing at his side. He came off the field. He eventually, based on a stoppage in play, was able to get back on the field. I think Driscoll may have come in and handed off for a snap. There was one or two plays, and then Daniels was right back in the game. There have been three home games. He missed time in that Giants game. Missed three quarters of the Carolina game. There was one, the Browns game, where he didn't play in the fourth quarter because they were up by a million, but he was fully healthy. I think a reasonable person can look at this and say, come on, guys. He lost his wind slash got hit hard and needed to basically get right on the sideline for a minute and then was right back in the game against the Giants. And this rib thing is minor. I think that's probably an argument you could make, and you could say this could have happened to a lot of guys. I would push back on that, by the way. I think his frame is part of why this happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that he's the first ever 6'3" quarterback that weighs 203 pounds and runs around as much as he does is part of why this happens. Both of these plays happened when he was running. Now, everybody's favorite thing to do. I saw this when I was on the beat in 2012. I've seen it already this week. Dan Quinn comes out and corrects someone and says, well, it wasn't really a design run. That's more of a scramble at that point because he's just running around, making his own decision downfield. I saw something in the Post. I don't know who wrote it. And it was a good piece. I'm not joning on it. But the headline was something like, it was a happenstance, not a design. You know, basically the idea was like, let's get ahead of this to make sure everyone knows this kind of thing can happen. And Jaden Daniels didn't do anything wrong. I'm not trying to say he did anything wrong. I am trying to say he probably, as we speak right now, weighs 204 pounds. And he's 6'3". And he's slender. And he's going to take a bunch of hits. And that is a very real question that can be asked. So the question I have for people is, we are not even halfway through the season now, and possibly on the precipice of him missing his first game. Should there be any concern about durability, or is that an overreaction? 800-636-1067. Is it too early to be concerned about durability? Because these are very minor things. Would you consider it over the top, fear-mongering, whatever, to say the hit against Tampa to the helmet, which was back in week one, that didn't lead to anything, that could have easily been a blue tent spot.
Mm-hmm.
If the spotter sees that and says, I want you to get checked out, now we're talking about him having missed time in 3 of 7 games.
Yeah, his helmet came off in the same game at the goal line that's negated a touchdown. Here's the deal. This isn't fair. What I'm about to say is not fair. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to anybody. The only time I will begrudgingly say, you know what, it's not a factor, is if there's a whole bunch of 16s and 17s in the G column on his Pro Football Reference page for years. I'm going to be concerned about this morning, noon, and night. This was my concern pre-draft.
You're standing watch.
This was my concern in training camp. This is my concern in the preseason. It's my concern through 7 weeks of football. It's not a negative. It's not a personal shot at Jaden Daniels, okay? It is not at all.
Why is it perceived that way? Because I can already see all of the people with Jaden Daniels avatars yelling at us or anyone else who just brings this up to say, I'm using historical information. When you can point to like 5 quarterbacks at the combine ever in the realm of his height and weight, and most of those guys are pocket passers, by the way, not dudes that ran all over the place. So there's not a precedent for this. There's not really a guy that looks like him from a thinness, body frame standpoint that runs around. I'm just asking for, let's all break out the pom-poms. He's unbelievable. But a little bit of realism here. A little bit of a realistic approach to, these are big bodies hitting you pretty hard. And we've seen him get hit really hard how many times this year? Half dozen?
Yeah.
Like where he's been crunched?
Well, the answer to your question is why do people do that? It's because there's some sort of maybe implication tied to it that the player is soft or that there's something flawed or wrong with him. And anything other than heaping the deserved and appropriate praise is met with this like fingers in your ears temper tantrum when you tell the child, no, you can't have ice cream for dinner. You actually have to eat your fish sticks. I mean, that's all it is. It is this reflexive rush to defend the wonderful gift that we've been given, that is Jaden Daniels. My concerns for the whole totality of the experience we've had so far begin and end with this part of it. I'm telling you, when you look at any of the highlights, the unbelievable plays, when he runs for 60 yards, whatever it is, against Alabama, making everybody miss, at the end of the play, he goes down, like a crash test dummy in slow-mo. At the end of these incredible moments where you're going, this is unbelievable, he falls in these folded up chair, awkward, oh my God, how did he get up ways? You get up every time until you don't. We sit there and we give him credit, and rightfully so, for sticking his nose in there on that throw to Terry McLaurin to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. He took a shot under the chin, a quarter millimeter, one way or the other. It's a different outcome.
And by the way, you have to.
And you have to.
That's quarterbacking.
Yes.
There's no other way to do it.
And my point is, you're going to be exposed to those. It's the extras every time. You're basically saying, this individual wave didn't cause the erosion of the beach. Wasn't that wave. Wasn't the wave after that. What have we learned about CTE? Right, when it comes to concussions, it used to be, I've got his bell wrong, or it had to be one big hit. Now we know, no, it's thousands of these little impacts over time.
Yeah,
and this is kind of the point to me: his frame, his ability to make these incredible plays puts him in more harm's way than a guy that's just the first sign of trouble. He's going to Derek Carr the thing out of bounds.
So my take on how he needs to should play all of that will not change. I think you have a shooting star, so to speak. You got to let it fly. I don't know if that's the right analogy. That sounds like something out of a Will Ferrell movie or something. But this guy is so unique and so special. I need him to turn all of his faders up to 11 at all times and go play football. I don't want him thinking about any of the things you and I are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm going to run him. I'm not going to run him on this power between the tackle stuff that Kingsbury's tried a few times, but he's definitely going read option. It would be a ridiculously silly decision not to have him run. I'm not going to, as a play caller, as a coach, take some of his greatness away to keep him out of fear's way, so to speak. Not going to do that. I am going to, every single day, whether it's in my office for 5 minutes, or when I see him in the hallway and he's going to hate seeing me, he'll try to go, oh, which way is Grant going to be? I'll go the other way. We're going to talk about protecting himself to the point where I'm going to bring him in. Every week I'm going to show you the two or three decisions where, hey, you made a great play. Here's one way you could have taken less contact. And this week it's going to be go to the sideline, not the middle of the field. But there are awkward falls. Like, we had Sheehan on the Beltway Blitz on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he disagreed with me a little bit on this. Go back and watch the play where he got hurt. He got hurt because he was going down weirdly. He was falling onto his butt. Go back. Watch the play. I'm not making this up. I've watched it 1,000 times. He's running at full speed. There's a guy who's caught him, who's like grabbing him around the shoulder, and they're doing this weird, like, and I think he's trying to protect himself from maybe like a hip drop tackle or something like that,
mm-hmm.
where the guy just jumps on him and does the hip drop and rolls on his legs. So he kind of falls on his butt. I don't know how often you guys run at full speed and fall on your butt. I don't do it very often because the phrase run at full speed.
That's doing a lot of work there.
But that's not a normal thing. That's just an awkward way to land. Now, he wouldn't have gotten hurt, in my opinion, if the other defender, who I don't even think he saw coming, didn't hit him and crunch him up from the other side. But the awkward landing with someone landing on you was the problem there. You get some of that. And there are just shots that he takes. So I would keep running him. I think you have to. If I'm him, you've got to keep running. But save me the, oh, you're overreacting, oh, you're a hater, oh, you guys don't get it. You're right. This guy scrambles more than any other quarterback in the NFL, and it's not even close. It's not design runs, by the way, where I can keep you out of harm's way, where I can account for somebody with a lead blocker, where I can get you to the sideline. He scrambled 32 times. 32. Nobody else has scrambled more than 26 times this year. Most in the NFL. At his frame, he's just going to take big hits. And after a couple weeks, I kind of just decided I'm going to have to live with that. But I do think we're going to be in this situation a bunch where over the years, and hopefully they're always good, and hopefully they have a good backup, and hopefully Daniels is an MVP candidate every time it happens. But where it's a week here, couple weeks there, because he got banged up, I think there's going to be a lot of that, in my opinion. He's questionable. I can't coach myself out of that. And as you said, if he plays 2 years in a row and doesn't miss a game or something, I'll sit here and wave my hand and say I was wrong. But so far, it seems to me like he's done a really good job for the most part in the open field avoiding contact, except for the plays that he hasn't. And I know it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but you see those plays where he slides or he falls or he protects himself, and he does that, I'd say, I don't know, 80% of the time, where you're like, dude, that was awesome. That was a good baseball slide. You did it. And then there's the play where he just kind of dives into a defender and you know, gets crunched.
Yeah, gets crunched between two guys and his helmet comes flying off. Or, again, against Tampa trying to score the touchdown. There to me, has to be – the player can't think about it, but I need the adults to.
So, yeah, I go the other way. I think it has to be the player, not – like, well, that's where we disagree, too, is you would call plays differently.
Yes.
You would never run him, essentially.
No, I would. I would do it just enough to show it. I need to keep teams honest.
But you wouldn't use it as a weapon. You'd use it to throw teams off.
No, yeah, the weapon to me is the scramble. Like, that to me is the weaponry. That's the – I make you guys that think you're right, I make you wrong. Like, to me, the design runs –
his legs as a weapon on design runs like the Ravens do with Lamar.
Which I hear, and you'll have to just deal with him missing time sometimes.
I think that's which what, I'm, that's
which I
what
get.
I'm doing.
I get it. I mean, that's the approach.
I wish he was 235 pounds. He's not. If he was 235 pounds, we'd be in business.
We'd have a different combo.
He's 35 pounds.
But even
less
still,
than
I mean,
that.
Look at, I know they're not the same player, but look at Anthony Richardson. Who is that? I mean, Anthony Richardson is a house that moves around really, really well. He misses time constantly getting banged up and hit. Now, he's taking on more contact. He's kind of the Cam Newton school, where he can't avoid it sometimes, and he's hammering people, delivering punishment in his own right. But I'd have that conversation with him where you're going, you're already in jeopardy of not having a job because you can't complete a pass. Now we can't have you missing time, too, where you're losing your development arc because you're thumping people. But in terms of Daniels, just to get back to it, again, it's not fair what I'm saying. I totally understand that, but I want to separate. This is not a criticism of him. This is me going, this gift is so special, I can't possibly lose it. Like, I don't want to lose it. I'm so concerned about losing it, even for a second, that I have to behave in a certain way. So to me, I'm looking at it going, this was my worry then, and it's my worry now. We've already had multiple instances, multiple intervals, little data plot points where he's either had to miss moments, had to go to the blue tent, is, you know, likely going to miss a game now, has already missed 80% of one that he's already played in. This is not going away until it's gone for a long time. And then we could laugh about it in a few years ago. Isn't it funny? We thought he had a durability problem. I mean, this has come up before. Different DC athletes. Bradley Beal at one point had to have his minutes limited because he had this stress reaction in his leg, which is a precursor to something really nasty. Then 3 years later, he's leading the league in minutes played for the Wizards because it worked itself out. Sometimes it happens. John Allen had an injury designation going into the draft. His shoulder wasn't going to work. Then the guy played pretty much constantly after an injury his rookie year, ironically, nothing to do with his shoulder, but was as durable as anybody playing in the middle. Sometimes it works itself out. So when we get there, I'll stop worrying about it.
Question for you guys at 800-636-1067. Do you think it's too early to talk about durability with Daniels, who has missed time in 2 of 3 home games? That's very, very minimal time in one of those games. But he took a big shot. He came off to the sideline. It was a scare. And it looks like this is minor. He may play this week. I think there's a good chance he doesn't play this week as well. He'll have missed a game already in the first half of his first season, taking a shot to the ribs. And it'll still feel like he was lucky. Because if that was a fracture, if that was a break, you know, maybe it's a multi-week thing. Maybe you're missing 2 to 4 weeks at quarterback. And when your quarterback's out for a couple of games or a month, that could be a potential death sentence for a team on the margins, mm-hmm. right? Is that something you worry about going forward with longevity here? Or is it way too early and you think that either, you know, these are a couple fluke things, that they're minor, that it's not that big of a deal, and that this is just confirming priors, basically. With a guy barely over 200 pounds that runs around and takes shots who is already now on the verge of maybe missing a game. Because everything else has been unbelievable.
Yes.
Everything he controls. And if he could control playing, he would do that. Trust us. Everything he controls, he's not only done well, he's done...
He's exceeded any expectation.
At a historic pace.
Yep.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day. Double play coming up at 3:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We will go round town. Beltway Blitz at 4. That's when we've got those Disturbed tickets to give away for you. And remember, exciting guest spot at 6 tonight, 2.5 hours out. We will be talking to former GM Thomas Dimitroff, who worked with both Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. Danny, the question right now, is it too early to be a little concerned about Jaden Daniels' durability? Is that an overreaction based on the rib injury, the chance to miss this week, the fact that he's come to the sideline and backups have gone in now twice, even though the first time very, very minimally, in two of the three home games?
It's not too early. And, you know, again, part of this isn't fair. I mean, part of it, it's not like he had an unbelievably checkered college career. He missed, you know, he missed some things, had a concussion, had an ankle sprain or a high ankle sprain, or, you know, a couple minor things that took him out of action slightly. But it's not as if he was chronically injured and this was a huge risk in terms of picking him. It's just, you do the math. I mean, you said this very well. They don't make people that tall, that thin with his skill set. And if he was just standing back there, Jared Goff string bean style, slinging the ball around, you go, okay, I guess we can deal with that. But the electric playmaking is built in, and it's amazing. It's part of what makes him so special. And he's great, and I love him so much. It's that frame, these hunters, 11 per week, chasing him down. This time it was, it wasn't an impact injury. He went down awkwardly. Well, yeah, he goes down awkwardly. There are awkward go-downs. It's what happens, and it happens to him a lot. And you got to go back and look at the highlights. So this is a thing that I was concerned about before, and I'll be concerned about it until we have a huge deposit in the bank that says there was no need to worry ever. And I'll say so then. But until then, I'm worried, and I don't think it's unreasonable.
Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Moose in Falls Church, you're on G&D. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
It's definitely not too soon. I hate to say it. Expect more in the future. It's the way he runs, his style of running. He's just too gifted of an athlete just to make him a pocket passer, whether it's the read option, whether, you know, a blown play and he takes off for 40, 50 yards. I had to Google it. RG3 was 6'2", 223. What'd you guys say Jaden is? How tall and how much does he weigh?
He's listed at 6'4", and he weighs... Okay. At the combine, when, you know, his whole life was about gaining as much weight as possible, he listed 210.
That's not
going
to happen.
It's almost certain
right.
that he weighs less than that.
Yeah. And again, that's not going to happen. You can put that kid in the weight room every day, all day. He's not going to get any bigger. So it's going to happen. He's frail.
Well, I'll say this. I do want to add one bit of context here, Moose. Thank you for the call.
Thanks,
I need to cut you off. So Lamar Jackson keeps losing weight on purpose, okay? Now, Lamar Jackson, at one point in time, according to what he said, in 2022, he weighed 230 pounds. He supposedly this year is down around 205 pounds. And he wanted to be quicker. He wanted to feel twitchier. Seems to be working all right for him. He is 2 inches shorter than Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. though. So him carrying 205, 210 around is probably not going to be the same as Daniels.
And he's not like a big, thick monster, but he's like, you know, he's stouter than Daniels
is. Yeah, I just don't think it's the same body structure, right? Which is part of the conversation with Daniels. I do think it's too early for the record to really get overly concerned. Like, I'm not losing sleep or yet saying, oh no, here we go. He's going to be hurt. He's going to be out 4 months. But I do believe that we're going to deal with this more often with Jaden Daniels than you would a bigger bodied prospect. I just think that's there are so many positives. There are, frankly, maybe a record number of positives for a Heisman Trophy winning 50 touchdown SEC quarterback. And the positives outweigh the negatives 50-1 or whatever. But one of the negatives is going to be that he's very slender, and when he takes hits, he's going to be more likely to suffer the cartilage rib injury, or who knows, next time the broken rib or whatever it could be, than someone who is 6'3" and 220 pounds, or 6'5" and 235 pounds. Let's go to Joe, who's in Ashburn. What's up, Joe?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
You know, unfortunately, when they drafted him, I made the call that my over-under was 6 games on him getting injured. The golden rule in basketball and in football is you can't coach size, and he's just too tall, and he's too thin. But he's a great player, and I'm really excited about it, and I think the whole team is rising to the occasion, especially the offensive line. They're giving him more protection than I would have thought they were able to do before the season started. They're giving their running backs lanes that are incredible. Everybody seems to be standing up. But the problem that makes me lose sleep is we only have 9 offensive linemen, according to ESPN a week or so ago, on the roster in our depth chart. Other teams have 11, 13. Maybe we have some guys on injured reserve.
Well, they've got a big, juicy list, Joe, of practice squad linemen that they could turn to as well. So it's not like they have fewer linemen in their building than other organizations do. There's going to be a drop-off from their starters to their backups like there would be for anyone.
Sure.
But the offensive line's actually playing really well right now. How big of a deal is it, though, if he suffers things like this, where you miss a week of practice and your game-time decision? I think you might be more ultra-conservative if you're them because he's just a rookie and it's just halfway through the first year of this rebuild and they're way ahead of schedule. But let's say he even misses a game. I mean, that's not the end of the world if for 6 or 7 awesome games, you get every now and then he's got to miss a game. You would take that trade-off,
of course. Yeah, that's typical. I mean, that's the NFL, right? Guys get nicked up, guys get beat up a little bit, and you miss some time. I mean, the when you start bringing up durability as an issue or an injury-prone player, it's not you miss a game a season. I mean, is anyone sitting here going, Robert Robinson's injury-prone because he missed a game to this point? No, of course not. But if he missed 10 a year, then you would say maybe that's a thing, and I'm tired of waiting around for him, right? Like the Curtis Samuel corollary, that kind of situation where I don't need any more updates. I'm not waiting on it. So if Daniels gets to that point, okay, yeah. But the reason people like me are concerned, I think, is you're not just talking about getting a fortunate bruised rib or a cartilage bruise, whatever the hell the thing is called at this point. The serious ones, the ones where you're missing huge, enormous amounts of time. And those come, I think, a lot of times when you get hit in this awkward way. There are going to be hits. The quarterback position necessarily means you're going to take that shot under your chin. Again, see that Cincinnati, Terry McLaurin, beautiful ball into the corner to win the game. That's part and parcel with the position. That is built in. It's the extra ones where you go down in a highly unusual body's not meant to do that way that are the extra dangerous ones that have to get cut out. Or we may be doing this.
Well, I also just think there are going to be some of these awkward falls. This happened on an awkward play where he's kind of dropping down to his butt, thinking hip drop tackle maybe. You know, Lamar has fewer of those for whatever reason. He seems to have mastered the... And I think Daniels has done really well at this too, for the record. He bats like .850 at it.
Yeah.
It's the 15% of the time where it's not that's scary. But Lamar is like a .995 batter when it comes to the falling forward, the tumble. He seems to avoid the contact.
And every
really
once
well.
In a while, though, he'll lower his shoulder and you're going, what are you doing?
Yeah, let's not.
What are you doing?
That. Let's go to TJ, who's in Bowie on the Fan. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate y'all taking the call.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, it's an overreaction. I'm not worried. The fan base shouldn't be worried. If you take away what he naturally does, you're taking away like a big part of our offense. So if you worry about it's football, you can't be worried about going out there getting hurt.
So TJ, let me. I don't want to cut you off. I'm going to ask you a question though, because I totally agree with you. You're answering the question as if we're saying should he stop running. And hear me when I say hell no. I mean I don't want. It's football. There's a risk of injury. It's part of what he does great. It shouldn't change anything. If anything, I want him to think a little differently when he's running. But my question to you is not, like, is it football? Does it happen? We know that. But are you at all concerned that these types of things will happen more with him based on his stature and style of play? That's the question.
I mean, once again, not at all. I mean, honestly, I'm more worried about, like, if he doesn't play this weekend, Mariota, like, I'm more worried about him taking them type of hits and getting injured than actually Daniel.
He took some blows, by the way, when he came into the game.
Right. He took some blows. That's what I'm saying. I'm more worried about that. Like, it was an awkward fall. He had a couple awkward falls this season so far, but I don't think that's always going to happen. And I like the dynamic plays, and you know what I'm saying? So I don't want him to be, like, nervous back there. I don't want Cliff to – stop calling the offense.
But they're not going to.
Appreciate you.
Nobody's stopping calling anything.
It's a good call.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
But respectfully, I just don't know how you could say, it's not going to happen. It has already happened so many times through 7 weeks.
Right.
The helmet came off, not because he just shrugged his shoulders. He collided with multiple people. He's gone down. He's missed plays. He's been crunched and hit in weird fall ways, and he's gotten back up. And that's awesome that he gets back up. But to say that, that's not going to happen, respectfully, why? Don't we have a great precedent of it happening all the time?
He mentioned Mariota, who I believe weighs 15 or 20 pounds more. They're both 6'4". Mm-hmm. Mariota, I think, is around 225. And I don't know what Daniels weighs right now. I know he was 210 at the combine, so he'll be listed at 210 forever. But that was like if you want to box in this boxing match, you have to get to this weight. And he showed up and, weighed in and he got to the weight.
Put those lead underpants on and go stand on the scale.
I don't know if he's still there. This is a really good tweet from someone here on Twitter. Let me find it. Delta says, it's not the body type when he's talking about him versus Lamar. He says, he is a more upright sprinter style of running. Lamar runs like a running back. He's able to cut more easier naturally. Thus, he's tougher to square up. There's something to that.
There's something to that.
Jackson's kind of almost, I don't want to say hunched over, right? But
there's less target area.
Daniels is definitely there's not a whole lot of what I call body lean. You know, when you're coached up as a back in football, and I've been in a million practices over the years, it's pad level is what's yelled at you. Your shoulders getting lower to the ground. Daniels is not that, and I don't want him to be, but he runs very much standing straight up more so than, say, Lamar. I think that's a good observation. Let's go to Chuck in Crofton. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, gents. Good afternoon. Great show, man. Continued success.
Appreciate you, buddy.
For sure. No problem. Man, I've gone back and forth from listening to the calls and even leaving the game on Sunday. 50-50, 60-40. I'm leaning towards, I'm definitely kind of concerned because, and one of the great points that was made is because, you're taught when you play football, of course. You guys probably played it. I played it. When you're at certain positions, you learn how to get small to give less areas for the defense to hit you. And that was a great point. He hasn't learned that yet. So I'm definitely a little worried, not overly concerned just yet, but I think a lot of things maybe can be corrected with, once again, helping them learn how to slide, giving less of your body to hit, using the football field as angles, as far as the sideline. So just something to think about. Right now, I'm even. I'll say I'm even. So what you guys think, man?
Appreciate you, dude. Thanks, man. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
You know where I'm at. I mean, I'm concerned. This has always been my issue. Is not the right word. I would have drafted him. I'm thrilled they did. I love him. This is even better than I imagined. I was super high on him. I'm all about it. I'm just, I don't know the way to say it. You make fun of him if you want to. I'm just going to be scared until I go outside 1,000 times and I don't get punched in the nose. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Scared is too strong for me, I will say. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We're asking if it's too early to be concerned about Jaden Daniels' durability, ability to take on contact. 3 home games and both of the first and third sandwich games at home this season, the backup quarterback's come out onto the field after he's taken a shot. You're listening to The Fan.
I know a lot of you are tracking Jaden's participation. He won't practice today. He'll continue, all the meetings and our individual stuff to go through that, but he'll get the treatment today, and then he'll continue to progress, through today and tomorrow, and I'll update you guys after Friday's practice, and we'll kind of go from there.
That's Dan Quinn. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Normally, this is the time for the double play. I want to push it to next hour. Let's try to get to it after the blitz, because I actually have a fun... We could even make it an Is It Weird, but it's more of an Is It Acceptable, based on something going on in my life at this point. I'm going to involve some friends in, potentially, but I want to get the go-ahead from you guys to make sure that it's not too creepy and way over the top, and that I don't need to apologize to anyone.
Potential wrangling of Is It Creepy is good.
Yeah, Is It Creepy could be the new version of is it weird? The question for you guys is, Jaden Daniels could be out this weekend dealing with a rib injury. Sounds like it's more cartilage than the bone itself, but we really haven't gotten a lot of details, only them saying that there's no break, there's no fracture. So the question at hand is, are you worried about durability? That was one of the huge concerns before the draft. We've seen him now. It's funny, the Bucs game is not one of the problems. He ran 16 times, quote-unquote, without incident, and he took probably the biggest hits that he took in any game in that contest, but twice in the three home games he has had to come to the sideline for treatment, including missing three quarters of the game this past week with Carolina. Luckily, it was the Panthers and early in the season, and possibly now the big showdown with the Bears. Let's go to Shane in Virginia on the Fan. What's up, Shane?
Commander Grant, how y'all doing today?
Buddy.
Hey, look, it's a concern. He's, what, 6'4", 190, if that. And all it takes is you see with the Godwin injury and the Hutchinson injury, all it takes is one play and your leg is snapped. I mean, and let's call it what it is. And he's our number two pick in the draft. He's our franchise quarterback. Yeah, and you look at the lifespan of all the running quarterbacks that's ever played in the NFL. What's their lifespan in this league? You look at the pocket passer, which he's a great pocket passer. He's on pace for Rookie of the Year and MVP right now. That's how good of a season he's having. So, yeah, it's a concern. He needs to put on some weight. How much weight are you going to put on? But he runs straight up. Like, I don't understand. Like, when he runs, I get so scared because he's running straight up. And, you know, he needs to learn to just look. All you got to do is talk to RG3. To have him talk to him, hey, look, you need to get down in this league. Yeah, there's a time and a place to run, but – put him in a running situation. This ain't college. These are big boy football. So you got defensive linemen that are 350, run a 4.4 and can just move. So this is a different kind of league, and he has a concern because we finally got our franchise quarterback, and yet here we are putting him out there where he can get injured or get hurt, and all it takes is just one play, and you know that.
Yeah, well, appreciate you can say that about anybody, but obviously this is very, very different. And in terms of it takes one play. But where are you on this? I got a tweet from someone, G Money here, who said, like, he's not concerned at all. And he said, basically, there's no proof that if you're smaller and more slender and you weigh less, that you're more at risk of getting injured. And I just said, so being more slender and weighing less, you wouldn't consider that not ideal. And he said, go back and look at studies. It doesn't have direct correlation to injury percentage risks, which I'll take his word for. I'm not aware of the studies. But he says, how does Devontae Smith do it at a much more physical position? Hasn't missed a game outside a concussion, which you can't attribute to weight. My response to that is, I think skill guys and quarterbacks are two completely different things.
Think of the number of hits that Smith takes on what? They call it 10 catches per game. At most,
10.
I'm saying
his averages four.
His biggest game is 10. Now he's blocking and the like, but it's very different than
my point
than a quarterback.
Is, if you're a skill guy, the way you move, the way you shift, the way you cut, the way you transfer weight, the way you avoid contact is so different than a quarterback in space. How often do you see wide receivers falling on their butt to avoid the hip drop tackle like Daniels did or some of the other weird stuff that quarterbacks in open field do? It's just it's a completely different way of moving. Like, his body as a wide receiver taking on contact moves way, way differently. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, without question. But there's it's just you're a different kind of athlete. We used to talk about this all the time again with Griffin. It's impossible not to evoke that name. He had the world-class sprinter, right? He was an Olympic caliber hurdler. So what does that mean? That's the straight line acceleration, the speed, and the top end. That's awesome. He's not winning a shiftiness contest with an Austin Eckler. They're different athletes. They're different kinds. Like, watch Devontae Smith move around. I'll take Jaden Daniels throwing the football over Devontae Smith. You're different kinds of athletes.
Let's go to Ray in Upper Marlboro on G&D. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. First
up,
and foremost, love you guys. Y'all are nut jobs, and y'all make my day.
Thanks,
buddy. I want to come from an interesting perspective on this. First and foremost, we have a totally different training staff, medical staff, and all these things. And I want the entire DMV to understand this is a totally new organization from top to bottom, and we're world class. It's showing. So I have to put faith in everything the coaches are doing, everything they're saying and doing. So if he doesn't play this weekend, I'm good with that. If he does play this weekend, I'm good with that. Because this – it could happen to anybody. This was a freak play that happened, and he contorted his body. But he's not couch potatoes like we all are. they are premier specimens in the peak of their physical fitness. We remember when we were 21, 22, 23. We could do a lot of things to our bodies, and he's going to recover a whole lot quicker than we would in older age. So my perspective is, let's trust, and they're not saying anything, which I love. Coming out of Ashburn, they're not saying anything, which is what a good organization is supposed to do, which gives fodder for us to talk all week long about what could be, should be, and shouldn't be. So I just enjoy the fact that we're talking about positive things and not nonsense
question.
We have been over the last 30 years.
We're talking about football and a 5-2 team trying to get to 6-2.
We're in a much better place, and we're talking about a quarterback that's awesome and like, oh, please God, stay healthy. That's very different than what we're used to. You're right.
Last one on this, because we got to get after a Beltway Blitz here. Shane's in Oxon Hill. What's up, Shane?
Yo.
What's good, man?
What's going on, fellas? I just wanted to say, I got a little pause from his injury. Because this is one of the reasons why I was a little skeptical in us drafting him in the first place because of his build. And, you know, I was looking more long-term, somebody who could stay healthy 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And, he's already been hurt a couple of games into the season. So I just wanted to say, like a lot of guys saying, you know, you can get hurt in the pocket or you can get hurt running. And the fact of the matter is, you know, the less pounds you weigh going against bigger guys, you can be hurt more easier. You know what I'm saying? And so we got a guy built slightly. I think he's more susceptible to be injured. So, I'm a little worried about it. You know what I'm saying? And going forward, hopefully he can stay towards the sideline and not cut things back into the field of play so much.
100%. That's going to be the
That's
key
it,
to
dude.
Me.
That's the key.
It's just continuing to try to rewire that muscle memory in his brain to avoid as many of the shots as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to have him stop running. This is the superpower, is that dual threat ability and how special he is with his feet and his arm. But he is tough now. I mean, we have learned that already.
Oh, yeah.
I think he would have gone back into that game if they would have let him. Beltway Blitz at the top. We'll give away those tickets to Disturbed as soon as we return on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.